The text is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 42, especially these words spoken by God. Who is blind but my servant? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here at Concordia Seminary, we are about forming servants. Servants of the Lord, servants of His Word. Every week you will say to your people, I as a called and ordained servant of the Word. That's a pastor, a servant of the Lord, a servant of His Word. God wants a servant who will faithfully serve Him and His Word. But that's tough to do, that's impossible to do if the servant is blind. Blind to God, blind to the things of God. How can the servant open the eyes of the blind if he himself is blind? How can the servant cause the deaf to hear if he himself can't hear? God had called ancient Israel to be His servant. Listen to the exalted mission God had given Israel, as announced earlier in Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, he will bring righteousness to the nations. The coastlands will wait for his instruction. He will be a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison who sit in darkness. But now later in chapter 42, God expresses his frustration and his disappointment. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my made whole one, or blind as the servant of Yahweh? Having seen many things, yet you do not observe. With open ears, yet he does not hear. Even though Yahweh was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to magnify his instruction and make it glorious. God reveals his frustration with a rhetorical question. Who is blind but my servant? No one is blind except Israel, his servant. Now, how can God say that? Isn't that a bit unfair? After all, the Assyrians and Babylonians were pretty blind as they worshiped their gods and goddesses, as they conquered nation after nation, leveled city after city, impaled prisoners, beheaded prisoners, and deported whole populations into captivity and exile. I would call that blindness. But God says, the blindness of the pagans is nothing compared to the blindness of my people Israel. I had given Israel the honor of being my servant. I gave them my special revelation, my Torah, my instruction, my word. I freed them from bondage and made them my own special covenant people. I set my temple dwelling place in their midst. I sent my prophets to them. And yet they are blind and deaf. They are clueless. They just don't get it. God wants to have a servant who will open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf. God really wants a servant who will serve him and his word. But before you volunteer, let's reflect. Are we really so different from ancient Israel? The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel and enlightened us with his gifts. We have received the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, purchased us and made us his own and brought us to God the Father. Yet, that old blindness, that old deafness still lingers on, doesn't it? How soon we become bored with the gospel. How soon we become tired of studying the Word of God. How soon we become apathetic and indifferent, content with memorizing a few pious cliches, content with staying on the surface of things. How much we would prefer to be entertained. After all, it's hard work to learn Hebrew and Greek and to study the Word of God with sustained, in-depth intensity. That old blindness still lingers. Neither ancient Israel nor we could be the kind of servant God wants. But thanks be to God that God did send one who would be this true servant, this faithful Israel. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Spirit and sent to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop the ears of the deaf, to restore the tribes of Israel and to be a light to the nations. Jesus of Nazareth is this true Israel, this true servant who sees God and who hears and keeps the word of God. The true servant, the true Israel, came into the world. And how did the world respond? The crowd shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." His own disciples fled. That's how blind the whole human race is. That's how clueless we are. When the light showed up, people preferred the darkness, and darkness covered the land. Jesus had to bear the load alone. But he did that willingly and gladly, for the servant of the Lord became the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, but he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He paid the price for ancient Israel's blindness, for the world's blindness, for your blindness and for my blindness. And because of him, you and I are forgiven. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead, thereby putting his stamp of approval on all that Jesus said and did, thereby shouting to the world, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And now through his word, this servant, the true servant of the Lord, the crucified, risen, and exalted servant of the Lord, opens your eyes and unstops your ears so that you can see him and hear him in his word. And he invites you to be his servants, to bring his light into dark places. Professor John Oberdeck suggests an analogy based on The Lord of the Rings. Gandalf was unwelcome when he arrived in the court of Edoras, but he proceeded to close the mouth of the lying Wormtongue and to open the darkened eyes of King Theoden. Then he tore down the curtains and let the light shine into the darkness of the great hall. Then he opened the doors and windows and let the fresh air fill the musty room. Doesn't this describe our task in a dark and deceived world? To bring the light of Christ into every dark place, that the eyes of the blind might see, that the deaf might hear, and that the Spirit of Christ might fill the room? We pray. O Lord God, move us to study your word and be your faithful servants to those who walk in darkness. Send us the Spirit of Christ, that he may open our eyes to see more deeply, more constantly, more thoroughly, more desirously, more joyfully, to see Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.